They thought they were going to have to go to arbitration with one of their best young players in Ryan O'Reilly. They avoid it at the very last minute and get a deal done. It's a two-year deal. It'll pay Ryan O'Reilly $5.8 million in year number one, $6.2 million in the second season next year. And joining us to talk about this and a lot more about the Colorado Avalanche from ESPN Radio in Denver is Drew Spivak. And Drew, I guess your original thoughts on what you saw in this deal.
Yeah, it was a huge surprise waking up this morning and kind of seeing the news what came down, because all signs of this thing pointed that this thing was going to head to arbitration. The two sides with O'Reilly's camp and the Avalanche hadn't been able to come to terms on any sort of a long-term agreement or anything like that. So it was really interesting to see how it all kind of played out and kind of hearing the stories about how it went down just right before they were getting ready to go into the arbitration room and get everything going. Joe Sakic and Ryan O'Reilly with a handshake deal, get things going with it. So, you know, it's a good day for them. It's nice to see that the two sides were finally able to basically meet in the middle based on what their initial demands were. And so it's a good day for O'Reilly's camp, and it's a good day for the Avalanche.
Was it in the best interest for the Avalanche maybe to avoid arbitration, or maybe for Ryan O'Reilly to avoid going into that room, or for both sides? I mean, who did you think maybe was going to come out on top if they did go through with the arbitration case?
Yeah, I think it was in the best interest of both sides, really, because, you know, you got to figure going into that room and you're basically fighting each other on what a specific player is worth. That's got to be an awkward, uncomfortable feeling for everybody involved in that whole thing. So I think it really benefited both sides of that, because, you know, it's hard to say exactly where they would have ended up, what the arbitrator would have ended up ruling. I can't imagine with, you know, O'Reilly asking for $6.7 million that the arbitrator would have gone that high. But then again, you never know. I think it probably would have been somewhere in the range of maybe $5.9 to $6.2 million per year, which is basically what they ended up almost agreeing on in the first place with this new two-year deal. So, yeah, I think it definitely benefited both sides to go ahead and get this thing done and not let it get into that arbitration room.
The relationship between the two sides, you talk about that it could have been severely damaged if you would have gone through that, which is very true. But do you think maybe there's a bit of mending to do in the relationship between these two sides? They almost went to arbitration this year. Of course, we still remember the whole Ryan O'Reilly holding out kind of thing and the Flames giving the offer sheet and that whole spiel that happened a couple seasons ago. So do you think there's a relationship that needs to be mended between these two sides right now, or do you think everything's okay?
You know, it's hard to say for sure. Both sides, obviously, they're saying all the right things. And Joe Sakic came out today and basically said that, you know, there was no animosity from either side during this entire process, the way it's all played out. So I think a lot of the things that have come from some of the animosity have maybe come from the fans and the media and different things like that. But, I mean, there's got to be some sort of mending to do. But I think the fact that these two sides were both able to come to an agreement and both sides gave a little bit to each other to kind of work this whole thing out, I think that's going to go a long way towards maybe mending the relationship towards the two sides, and maybe hopefully within the next 2 years here they can get a long-term deal worked out, because, you know, obviously this solves the problem for the next 2 years, but then again, now O'Reilly's set to become an unrestricted free agent in 2 years, and the Avalanche are going to have a whole new bag of things to deal with when you have O'Reilly as an unrestricted free agent. You're going to have to pay Nathan MacKinnon, who will be a restricted free agent, and then Eric Johnson, a free agent as well. So it kind of just sets the tone for things to come. But I think mending-wise, I think this thing, the way it kind of went down, the way it finished today, it's going to go a long way towards helping things out for both sides.
Drew Spivak joining us from ESPN Radio in Denver down the Subway Restaurants Fresh Take Hotline. Ryan O'Reilly avoiding arbitration, getting a two-year deal done with the Colorado Avalanche earlier today. When you look at that center ice position now for Colorado, Drew, it's pretty jam-packed with a lot of talent. You've got Matt Duchene, Nathan MacKinnon, Ryan O'Reilly. How do you rank these guys of who's one, two, or three? Or are the Avs even concerned about ranking who's their top center right now?
You know, I think right now you look at it, it's probably Matt Duchene is their top center. I think going into camp next season, we're probably going to see Ryan O'Reilly stick on the left side with Matt Duchene, with probably Jerome Iginla on that right side. It's kind of the Avs' top feature line. And then you look at a second line, probably looking at Gabriel Landeskog on the left side, Nathan MacKinnon in the middle, and then Alex Tanguay on the right side. So you look at that, you've got a nice little addition there. I mean, you think you lose Paul Stastny, you're thinking, oh no, you lose one of the better centers in hockey, and things could be a total disaster. But when you look at the depth chart and the way the Avalanche are set up, they're going to be just fine at the center position, especially with the fact they added a guy like Daniel Briere, who can either play third or fourth line center, and you've got John Mitchell coming back from his concussion that he suffered in the playoffs last year. So really, you've got a lot of depth at the center position at all four lines. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how Patrick Waugh, you know, plays things with camp if he decides to go ahead and move McKinnon to center. Like, all indications kind of point to that's the way it's going to happen, and if he sticks with O'Reilly on the first line. But either way, the Avs are set up pretty well for this coming season.
And I guess farther to the Stastny situation, they're losing Peter Stastny, but having this done and now knowing what you have coming up, does it really kind of soften the blow a little bit about losing Stastny? You're still losing a great player, but maybe a little bit easier now knowing that you've got O'Reilly for a couple of years as well as these other pieces.
Yeah, no question. I think it would have been really bad, not only just from an on-the-ice standpoint, but from kind of a public relations standpoint to lose Paul Stastny for nothing to a division rival, a team that you know, a lot of Avalanche fans kind of grown to hate here the last year or two. And if you would have lost O'Reilly for some reason, if they would have not been able to go in and get this worked out, and then they would have ended up having to trade him, which obviously is still a possibility, but I think it's a lot less likely now that that happens. But yeah, I think it definitely helps things out, and it kind of helps kind of soften that blow a little bit. And it's not only just the O'Reilly thing, but the fact that the Avs were able to go out and get Jerome Iginla and get him signed to a nice little 3-year deal, I think that really helps as well. And it gives Avalanche fans a lot more faith in this front office than they would have had had things really gone south with O'Reilly and having lost Stastny as well.
When you look at the offense right now, just focus on them for a quick second. It seems like they've really wanted to go with a good mix of veteran and young guys. You mentioned Jerome Iginla, Danny Briere bringing in there is some veteran leadership. They still have Alex Tanguay and now Matt Duchene, who's coming into his own, Landeskog, O'Reilly, Nathan MacKinnon. It seems like they really want a nice mix of young guys and veterans, and they seem like they have that there in Colorado.
Yeah, it really does. The way everything's set up, you've got depth now on all four lines, and I think that was something that Colorado was lacking last season, especially once they got into the postseason and battled Minnesota, who, you know, had the previous playoff experience going against Chicago the year before. You kind of saw that the depth on all four lines really benefited Minnesota, and it was something that Colorado didn't have. And so now adding a veteran guy like Danny Briere to kind of center or even play on the wing on those bottom lines, and even adding a Jesse Winchester, the guy they picked up from Florida, to play on that fourth line, I think that's going to be a nice benefit as well. But I think the big one there is obviously getting Jerome again, like getting his veteran leadership, a guy that's played, you know, in huge hockey games in the past. He's played in the Stanley Cup final. He provides the spark for this team. He provides some physicality, something that this team was lacking last year, and he's got a scoring punch, especially in front of the net, which is obviously something Colorado is missing. So I really like the way this offense is set up, not only next year, but the next 2-3 years to come.
When you look at the back end, do you kind of have any concern at all with it being so young and maybe lacking not just veteran leadership, but maybe that one big name? I know Eric Johnson's still on there. Tyson Barrie had a great year last year. But some of the other guys, is there concern at all with the back end for the Colorado Avalanche?
Yeah, I still think there's some concern. I mean, obviously they went out and they acquired a veteran guy in Brad Stewart to kind of shore up and give him a little bit more of a physical presence on that blue line. But I think there's still a bit of a concern, especially if you watched this team at all last season. You saw them getting outshot every single night. And basically, Semyon Varlamov had to carry the defense the entire season last year. So you still have to kind of worry about that a little bit. But, you know, Patrick Waugh has said that that's kind of the style they want to play. The style they want to play. They want to be an offensive team, a team that creates a lot of scoring chances. And they know that if they want to do it that way, they're going to have to give up some scoring chances as well. But he likes their core. He likes their young guys and Eric Johnson and Tyson Barrie, as well as Nick Holden. And Nick Holden's a guy who I thought really showed a lot in that playoff series against Minnesota last year. He came out, did a lot of good things, and I thought he was their best defenseman. So they've got some kind of questions there, I think, from a lot of people. But, you know, if they can improve even just a little bit, maybe limit other teams to 5 shots less a game than they had last year, I think there's a good chance you're going to see them be right back where they were next year.
Well, Drew, it's going to be interesting to watch this team next season. Thanks a lot for your time. It's, I guess, good for them to get the Ryan O'Reilly situation done. Should be an exciting year for you to cover this team once again. Likely another playoff year for the Avalanche.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. I can't wait to get the hockey season going again and kind of see what happens in this incredibly competitive Central Division now.
Yeah, it is very. It's going to be very tight and very competitive as well. Lots of teams with a chance to win it. Thanks a lot, Drew.
Hey, you guys, anytime.